Welcome to Beat the Block, a podcast powered by BeatStars, the world's number one marketplace to buy and sell beats.
This is a show where we go deeper than the surface and talk about the best producers and artists in the game, not just about their successes, but also the blocks, dark times, mental health, and unpaid work that comes along with it.
More importantly, we find out they bounce back and turn their downsides into upsides to make a career out of doing what they love so you can too.
Get ready to experience this episode of Beat the Block. What's up, gang? It's your friendly neighborhood podcast host, Ill Brown.
What's really good, world? It's your main man, Trox.
Yo, and this is your girl, Candy.
And as usual, we are back every Friday with another installment with the Beat the Block podcast, powered by the good folks at BeatStars. Go buy you some beats, you whack-ass MCs. Today's guest has DJ in his name, but he is so much more than that, y'all. He is also a producer, a record label founder, and an executive producer for BSF Black Soprano Family. Get in tune if you don't know who that is. I don't know what to tell you. Please welcome the man who broke Buff City Records in, DJ Shay. What's popping, homie?
What's up? What's up? What's happening, everyone? What's good?
Chilling over here, man. How you living?
I'm well. I'm well. You know, I'm out in the A, man. I'm making good music. I'm working with the gang. I'm feeling great.
That's good to hear, man.
That's what's up.
Despite the pandemic, you know, I'm past that. Like, you know, that ain't really affect me. I stayed in here. I ain't catch no shit. None of my gang caught nothing. And we working, you know?
That's right. Staying safe.
That's all that's to it right there.
That's super dope and good to hear. So you said you out in the A?
Yeah, we out. The whole gang out here. We all out here in the A. We in the A, yes, working, enjoying this weather. You know, this Southern hospitality and you know.
Hotlanta.
Making great music. Hotlanta.
That's right.
It's never a dull moment here anyway, you know.
We all know.
Black Hollywood right now.
It's a very loud city and I love it. I've only been there once. It was for the Dreamville sessions. So I wasn't really like...
Oh, you ain't leave the house.
I ain't left the house for shit. But like the one time I left the house, I was at Little Five Points. And man, it was dope, man. I love it out there.
I'm going to keep it 100. Like as far as I only go... This chair you see sitting that I'm sitting in right here, this is the lab. This is my lab. And I go to Walmart and to Two Rays to get me Backwoods and Walmart. That's about where I go. I mean, all the gang, you know, they be going out. They all go out, and I hear, you know, I'm past that. But they definitely enjoy it. The A is where to be, where it's supposed to be at for the music and everything. You know, it's great vibes here.
So we'll kick it off. I know you said you're good with the COVID. I think we are all good. You know, we've been staying productive, but it's still a lot going on in the world.
Yeah, I know it's still scary, but I try not to really affect me. I try to stay in my little zone. It's scary though. Facts.
Yeah, like how do you feel about what's going on? I mean, I know we all stay focused and we try to channel that energy and make the best art.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't tend to do this at all with anything else, but I kind of was in a trying to really ignore, not really ignore, but just try to stay focused and stay in my little zone and hope for the best, you know, because the whole thing is a scary situation to know that we faced with something that, you know, we lost a lot of lives. I lost a lot of lives. I know a lot of people. I know at least like 5-6 people that died during this time. You know, that shit is crazy. So, yeah, I kind of, to dip myself personally, I can't speak for no one else, but, you know, I just, you know, try to get up and stay focused on what I have to do and try to stay as away from exposing myself to it as possible, but kind of try to, like, really block that part out and just stay focused on what I need to do so when it's all over, I haven't lost a step as far as the music is concerned. And that's, I mean, it may not work for everybody, but that's what works for me. I feel good. I'm happy right now. You know what I mean? I'm in a good place with myself, so you know that's basically how I'm dealing with it.
Right, I feel you. I mean, Atlanta is like I mean, you said everything's all good, but I'd say this past week has been a little turnt with the officers, and we had the protest just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they got crazy again. Like over, like there's so much stuff going on besides just that. But all this stuff. I'm learning stuff about Black history. Me and Graff were just saying I'm learning stuff about Black history daily now that I didn't know about these statues here and what they mean and shit. So the world is crazy right now. Like it's a lot of things going on, and, you know, and it's like it's a big changing point in the world for a lot of things. You know?
I totally agree.
Shit is crazy, especially out here, because when that shit happened Friday, I was on my way to Two Rays to get me some backwoods, and then my man was coming to take care of me. He was like, "Yo, it took me like an hour to get here, bro." He's like, "The expressway had to take detours because they started going crazy again." After the homeboy got shot at the Wendy spot. So yeah, I'm in the heart of that shit. It's crazy.
Man, that's crazy. So it's good that you're able to stay focused as we deal with this as a collective, because it's affecting our whole community.
Right.
And we are learning a lot. Like, it's Juneteenth, and I would say this year is, I've never seen so many people celebrate this day in a way, and try to learn about it and what's going on. So we're all a part of like history right now. So
right, and again, I think that of course they're gonna expose the negative things and the negative, but I can only speak for myself, but me and my people, I'm realizing I'm being conscious again. Like I said, some of these statues I didn't even know exist and what they really meant. So, you know, again, I'm thinking they gonna have to, when school open back up or however they do, they gonna have to start reinventing some of these history books, because the history that we had was false, so we didn't even have them. So, you know, it's a lot of, like I said, a lot of things is happening right now in the world.
That's facts. The children got to get re-educated, and so do we as adults.
Right, right. I'm getting re-educated, and I'm damn near 50, so I know the kids, they got to do something, because it's shit that I didn't know, I'm still learning. So I know my kids haven't been taught it, so they got to do something about it. But hopefully a lot of change is going as far as our history, education, and all this shit that's going on with these crazy ass people, officials officials and police officers and all this shit.
Well, let's take it back to your childhood. So you started DJing around the age of 10, right?
My birthday is in November. I turned 10 in November, and on Christmas I had a Pyrotechnic 1200s and a GLI PMX 9000. That's a joint that Jam Master J and everybody had back in the day. Like, my mom went in crazy. Like, she went in crazy. I remember that. And like, after that, it was over. I was like, by the next year, I was DJing in motherfucking bars in the kitchen and shit. They had me in the kitchen because I couldn't be in the bar. So I'm DJing in the kitchen doing bars and shit. And it was pretty much over after that.
That's crazy. You started off like not on no toys. You started off on some real shit.
Yeah, they used to like all that. And then I had like, it was older guys who saw me there. Like one of my friends, he was like 16, and he came to my house, and my grandmother was like, "Who is this old ass man coming to the door?" But everybody was like, "It was like, you got 1200s." Like, most of that, everybody had like other type of turntables. They couldn't afford the 1200s, so I was like popular just because I had them. They thought I was just like some old spoiled kid. But they came through, and I was chopping shit up for real.
How
for
did
real.
You get exposed to DJing in clubs and in the kitchens of clubs and that at that age?
My uncle, my whole history, my whole father's side of the music, like I play instruments, but actually the DJing come from my mother's side. I was living with my grandmother, and my uncle, he was DJing like I was watching him, and then like as soon as he would leave, I cut it back on and was practicing, and my grandmother was like, "Don't be touching your uncle's stuff, you know he gonna get mad at you and shit." So when he did, he came home and he saw me like scratching. He was like, "Well, if you go do that, you gotta learn how to, you can't touch him until you learn how to blend two different records." So shit, he left again, and man, an hour later I was mixing two different records. And after that, I basically was taking over his shit. And then my mother, and you know, he told my mother, and my mother found out how good I was or whatever, and she, you know, she put that play together.
That's what's up. I got a similar story of how I got started. It was kind of the same type of situation when they tell you don't touch the equipment, and then you wait until they leave the room. And then they like, "You can actually do this." So it's crazy. That's how it go. So I believe you also made your first beat with Ray T for a song called Loose. Loose King.
Yeah, with Ray T, that's
yeah.
A fact.
How did you become, like, evolve into a producer starting off as a DJ?
Well, again, my uncle, after he had them turntables, he had like a little Dr. Rhythm. He had like a little beat machine, Dr. Rhythm. So I was picking that up too, the Dr. Rhythm. And then they had the SK-1, the joint that was on the Cosby Show, the jamming on the one. They had a sampler. And when they had that joint, I got that joint. And then I had tried to like make me a two-track, because they only had, you only could do it like one sample. And then I got a two-track, and and made a track. And then my boy Ray T was there, and he was just started rapping. And from there, it was over. Then I, like, the next year, I got me a real sampling keyboard. And that shit was no turning back.
That's what's up. So, like, what was that time period from DJing to producing? Like, at what age did you make that transition?
Okay, after I started making beats, I guess after I was DJing for about 10 years, I always knew how to make beats, but probably like 10 years in, I started really, really going hard with the beats. Probably like, I'm going to tell you what year it was, like 91, 92, because I was with a group called Brotherhood Nation, and they was conscious. They had brought me on as a DJ, and we went to the studio. They had another producer that made all the beats, and all I was doing was scratching. I'm like, damn, I get to make all the beats. So after that, yeah, it was probably like 91. So it was like 20 years in. I had already knew how to make beats, but that's when I really took it serious. Like, yo, I can't never like have nobody else. I got to make my own beats. I mean, I'm not selfish like that now, but at that time I was like, yo, I got to do everything. I got to know how to do everything. So that's when I really went hard with the beats. About like, yeah, about 91, 92.
Yeah, I think like I actually just started back DJing, and I always knew how to DJ, but I didn't want people to put me in a box of DJing, and I started making beats. So
that's
then I was just like, I got caught for a gig to DJ, and it worked out, and I was like, why am I not DJing too? So
yo, that's the same shit. Cause the part I forgot, I didn't finish it up. So after 91, when I started making beats, I stopped DJing like completely. Like everybody's like, you don't DJ no more, you're not gonna DJ my party. I'm like, man, I ain't got time for that. Man, I ain't got time for that. You feel me? I was like, I went through double. So then I stopped DJing until real recent. I always did, but then I started DJing again, and I stopped making beats for a minute. It's crazy. It's going back and forth.
It's a juggling process, because each of them is like, they take, I think, with production is very much more detailed and intricate. I mean, DJing can be too. It just depends on what you're doing. But if you out DJing parties and stuff, it's really a totally different vibe. So they call on two different, I think it's like working two different sides of your brain.
My mother be saying that all the time. She's like, boy, the best thing you did, know how to DJ. I don't know all that stuff you be making. You be in the basement making all that noise and bringing that. I like when you DJ. I'm like, man, all right, man. That's where you start at. That's what you're supposed to be doing, DJ. I'm like, all right, man.
Yeah, so
What you want to hear? Frankie Beverly, I got you. I'm going to play some Evelyn Champagne King and Frederick Bankley for you. Frankie Beverly, you
it's
be
like
good.
It's like DJing, you get more instant gratification. With production, you got to build the outcome. You know what I'm saying? Like, you creating it. So, you know, you got to school the new ones on the block. But yeah, I mean, it's people out here that, you know, they show up and they got the digital stuff. And they not... You got playlist DJs and you got people that can really blend, right? Blend and scratch. I happen to fall in the category of being able to blend and scratch because I got two brothers that started. So you started Buff City Records and you started working with local artists. But how did you manage to balance DJing plus producing plus running a label?
And a studio.
Did it all.
And a studio. It was all under one roof. It was all under one roof, man. I wasn't by myself. We worked. I had a staff. I have actually one of my vice president. He just drove here from North Carolina. Rab, my boy Rab. He been with us since Buff City Records. He's still around. He was like my VP. Like we ran in house. You know, we ran that like we run BSF right now. Like, and Benny like absorbed everything that happened, and he's now the boss, now he our boss. And I ain't mad, I'm good. I get to do what I do, you know what I mean? And Benny the boss, you know, he was with me throughout all this. When I wasn't able, I don't know if I was supposed to tell this, but when I wasn't able to pay him like I was supposed to pay him, I was giving him percentages of Buff City Records. So he owned partial of Buff City Records too. Cause I ain't have money. I was like, bro, don't leave me, man. I'm gonna offer you a percentage of the company. I ain't got no money right now. And you know, that's my guy. He rolled out with me, and now he the boss, and he runs shit.
Yeah, it's good that you did business and looked out you know, we all start off in a particular way, and people got to ride out the hard times and make it through. Kind of had like that family atmosphere. If everybody's working towards the common goal, then
yeah, we family.
You know, that's how you get to it. But can you walk us through like the first years of you setting everything up? Like, how were you able to even get it off the ground, and what was like your thought process?
Well, I had friends. How I was able to get off the ground, I had a few friends. You know how I'm from the hood, so I had friends that wanted to see us do better, and they were in a financial position to help me and provide what we needed, you know, as far as equipment and the necessities and a studio. And I ran a 24-hour studio in Buffalo that it never closed. So, you know, when we wasn't working, I was available, and everybody wanted to kind of, you know, work with me and being who I was. So we kind of stayed busy, and the doors kind of stayed open. And you know, with the boys, with the crew, with Benny and Conway and everybody, they had, you know, pretty much free open range of the studio. It was kind of big. I had a front and a back. So if I did have sessions, they would go up front and write and craft until I was done and come in the back. But we grinded. We never closed. You know, we went through, we had many mixtapes, 50, 60, 70 mixtapes. You know, we was dropping shit. We was dropping shit regularly, like since 04. It was like no stop. We never stopped operating like now. Actually, I feel, I was just telling boys, shit, all the work we done, I still feel like I gotta work more now that we here, you feel me, to make sure that we leave us a mark. But those days, them days was like, it's funny, another story too, what the crazy shit, one quick story, and I remember a very long time ago when Renegade came out, we was listening to the Renegade song in the studio, and we were sipping on some Hennessy, we was pretty much fucked up, talking shit. And I remember Conway was saying something about Eminem verse, and then Benny was like, yeah, that's it was dope, but it's not whole. And then rewind, you know, 10, 15 years later, for Conway to be on signed to motherfucking Eminem, and then Benny to be signed to Jay-Z.
Right.
That shit right there is some real serious shit that sit with me like, you know. And then motherfuckers asked me, did I think this was gonna happen? And I was like, yeah, I just didn't know when. That's what the fuck I was doing all this shit for this to happen.
Exactly.
You feel me? I just didn't know when, but now is when.
That's a great point to say. I mean, you kind of had a vision, and you know, when you know, you know, you just keep working until it pop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
So
I lost every, I mean, I, not in the sense I didn't lose anything that was really important, but my goals, I missed, you know, there's a lot of things I missed out on, but you know, I don't regret them, because that's how I got to why I'm here, I believe, and why we're here. It's for the sacrifices that I made, that we all made.
I agree. Do you think making so much music back then, I mean, dropping 40, 50, 60 tapes, do you think that was like the major push that got you where you are today?
No, I don't. To tell you the truth, I don't know what one. I wouldn't concentrate on one particular thing or say one thing. I just say that collectively of all the work that we did, and of course, Westside is, you know, Westside is a genius for what he's a genius for, and all I ever said was in the beginning is that someone of importance just had to hear us. That's all I was concerned about. So when I was making all them tapes, every joint I thought, hey man, if they somebody hear this, if Hov, actually you already know. Who else? You always want Hov to hear shit. If Hov hear this, I've been saying that ever since that argument, you feel me? If Hov or somebody heard this shit, we would be good. Buffalo wouldn't be the unsigned city no more. Like, we'll be running shit if somebody hear. That was my whole goal. I was putting out compilation albums in like 01, 02, and 03. Actually, I'm lying. I'm sorry. In 98 and 99, I started a series called Unsigned City, because we was like the only unsigned city, and they, you know, New York niggas used to look at us funny, like, y'all niggas ain't from New York, y'all from Buffalo, New York. You feel me? So we was kind of set with that. I had that complex. We had some shit to prove anyway, you know, with my whole Unsigned City series. That was, you know, and now we signed City, so I'm working on that shit now too. I forgot about that. I gotta get that together now too. We signed. Gotta get signed. City jumping.
That's
dead.
What's up.
But yeah, you know, that's what it is.
Speaking of Benny, can you talk about the first time you met Benny the Butcher?
The first time I met him, I didn't hear his music though. I didn't hear his music the first time I met him. They was trying to get him and his homies and another person that he was working with at the time was buying beats from me, and he was come by like, yo, I need you to hear this kid Benny, man, but I need to get some beats for him. So he was buying beats from me for Benny before I actually heard Benny or got one. So after the first time, one of my homeboys and investors, they knew Conway and Benny and Cutter and all of them and Westside and all very well. So as soon as he got with me, he was like, yo, I need you to hear these boys. I was like, okay, I know, I've heard of Benny, I'm such and such. I was like, I heard of Conway. And then after the first time I heard him, I was like, yo, these kids right here, I'm gonna need to have these kids on my team. And like the way they are at this time right now, when I look at all four, well, five of them, including Rest in Peace Machine Gun Black, when I looked at the picture of Street Entertainment, that's what they was when I got with them. Everybody that's on the picture is living right now their dream, like to the fullest, and what we work for. Like everybody is at the top of their shit, and that shit right there feels, that shit is like a feeling that I can't even express or describe them or put in words.
Man, just that picture that you're talking about, man, and just like you telling the story about it, it's real inspiring, man.
Word.
When did you think, like, what was the moment, like, when you were, you know, working with Benny, when did you realize, like, this dude was going to be something special?
The first time I heard him, nigga, that joint, this with all of them right here, this was the Street Entertainment joint right here with all of them. You know what I mean? Benny, Conway, Cutter, Machine Gun Black, and Westside. That was them boys back then. Like, Conway stood out like no other, and Benny stood out like no other. And I'm going to keep it 100, like, Cutter, who was in the middle, he was the first one to start doing like recording with no paper or no pen. But we gonna get to that. And then when Benny, it was November, it was by his birthday, and it was 05, right around Benny's birthday, we was doing a mixtape. And I knew he was dope, but he came in. He was on probation, so he couldn't smoke weed. The nigga would smoke. I used to smoke cigarettes too, so we had got a bottle of rosé, some Hennessy, and we were smoking cigarettes. This shit. He was smoking cigarettes, and the man did this flow. I'm trying to remember what beat off of Benny Siegel, old Benny Beal. Can you stand the out in the rain beat of some shit? But that motherfucker went in there, bruh, and I got motherfucking chills like from. I just got mad chills that time, like, and since then. Like every single time I would go to record Benny, it's like the day before Christmas. And when I got them 1200s, it's like the day before Christmas. Even to like right now, if he come here right now and he start crafting, it's like the day before Christmas. And when I press record, it's like I'm opening up my presents every single time. He ain't never let me down in motherfucking 16 years. You feel me? And with the Pinless Flow, nobody does that like him. Like that man, they be like, when Hit-Boy first saw it, he was like, he seen me just crafting, and then when he went to record him, he went in the booth. He was like, he did the whole thing. I was like, just go ahead, bro. He'll tell you what to do. But the whole thing of how, you know, how he craft, no pen, no paper, like, and that's, I used to have to, back in the day, I used to, after he record, I used to take the CD or the reference track, and I used to send that to Washington for our copyrights, because his shit never hit the paper, you feel me? At all, like nothing. And that shit, that craft. Now Conway do that too. Now them boys, they definitely they get it in too. And like I said, Cutter was the first one to do it. But you know, that one of those things, that's just amazing how that man, if it's a two verse or three verse, we used to do three verses back in the day, you feel me? And a hook. And he would have all that shit in his head. And I'll record him. That shit be crazy. Like I said, even right now, from when he just did the Lil Wayne joint, when he did the Drake, just right now, every day, it could be a feature for a homeboy or just a regular feature. It's the same when I'm watching him craft, and it's like the day before Christmas. And when you know, sometimes he'll come over and craft to me, but he know I like to wait till he just get done. Like if he got pieces or something, he'll be telling to the boys, or I come over and listen. But like I said, when I press that record, that's like that day before Christmas when I got them set of 1200s and that GLI PMX 9000.
It's like opening a gift and you find a Rolly in it every time you hit record.
Every time. Ooh. You got a new Rolly every time. He ain't never let me down. I swear I ain't never had to be like, bro, maybe you should. You know, I don't really get into people. I trust the artist craft, but there ain't never really been a time I had to be like, yo, did you think you should, or, you know what I mean? And like I said, he's amazing as an artist to work with, man. Like all them years, I'm dealing with artists. I've dealt with a whole bunch of artists that always give me a difficult time as far as their music. And I'm not really mad at that. It's just like, because the artist is the artist, Conway, nobody in particular, but you know what I mean? I would do some work. I could ask Benny for anything and it would never be a problem. I'd be like, yo, do this girl song. He'd be like, do it. I'll be walking away like, damn. He said, yeah. Conway, on the other hand, Conway go take it there. Like if it, but the thing amazing, the difference about that, he is so amazingly, like he crafts so, like if I tell him something about a girl, he probably won't do it that day, but the next time he do it, it'll be like the illest fucking shit, like the hardest shit in the world, because he might, you know, smack the glass out of her hand or something or some shit and then give her a hug. But he's amazing with that too. My boys, I'm going to just keep it 100, man. I knew 16 years ago that I had the two best rappers in the world. Like, I really felt that. I don't have a problem with saying that. And today, I still say the same thing. No disrespect to all the big. I got favorite rappers. You feel me? I got favorite rappers. But my boys, the hardest rappers in the fucking game, period. Like, and whoever, I ain't got as much money as these motherfuckers. But if I had it, I'd put it all up. Like, nobody can fuck with Chainz. No, I mean, with Benny. Nobody can fuck with Conway. You feel me? Nobody fucks with my boy. They can't fuck with him. I respect all of them. Not saying that nobody is no less of them, but my boy's the hardest shit in the fucking industry right now, period. And they have been. They have been for a very long time. Just now somebody got to hear them.
Indeed.
I don't know if y'all asked me that question, but I'm just saying that shit anyway, because that's how I feel.
Let it all out.
Nah, man. Speak your piece, man. We respect it, man. And you know what I'm saying? As fans, man, we honor that. You know what I'm saying? What was the early days of managing Griselda like, man? And, you know, what was the biggest thing you learned from those early days?
The biggest thing I learned was to stay consistent. And if you believe in your work and your craft, take it to the top with it. Like, I don't do nothing else. A lot of people may look at, was always looking at, even my parents, you know, my mother introduced me to that. There was times like, don't you think about getting a real job? Ain't you go this? I'm like, this is my real job. I just enjoy it more than you enjoy yours. So you like a real job. Like, what the fuck you mean real job? Because I enjoy my job. It's not a real job. So to tell a motherfucker, take this, if you take this shit serious, like take it serious. I have friends that I've known a long time and they're not good for my business. I had to tell a friend the other day, I was like, yo, bro, you can hang with me all day, but you're not going to be the one for this job because, for one, you don't take this serious. And for two, you really only trying to go hard because you've seen where we at now, but you didn't put that work in. So I'm not mad at you for that. But I feel that you have to, if you go make it in here, you have to be consistent. You have to take this shit serious. Like, you got to make sacrifices. It's like, you know, you make sacrifices for anything else. Like, this is my, I don't look at, and actually, I don't even look at this as a job. It may be titled as that, but this is my life. This is a way of life. I get up every day, roll a biscuit, and make music. You feel me? Or I'm at my executive point. I'm making some phone calls. I do this every day, just like, and I probably work twice as many hours. I ain't gonna disrespect this to nobody and say that. I don't know how hard people work, but I work twice as many hours as most people every single day. My average, I go to bed every night. We're just selling graphics. Actually, he's like, damn, man, what time you be going to sleep? I'm almost 50. I go to sleep every night between 2 or 3 o'clock, and I'm up every morning by 7 o'clock, 7:30 at the latest. And I'm not tired. I don't feel like they say, oh, you need to slow down. I mean, to an average person, that might sound crazy. Like, that really might sound crazy, but I cannot. I'll go to sleep. I can go to sleep tonight working on music at 3:30, 4 o'clock. Sometime even later than that, if we get in the zone, and I'll go to sleep, but my body won't let me, like, sleep past 7:30. Like, it's not gonna happen. You feel me?
Absolutely.
It's just not. I'm just in the zone. I take Kush comas during the day. You feel me? And I don't think it don't slow me down. Like, they be like, how you smoke so much weed and how you do this and do that? I really don't have an answer for it, but I got shit to do. So I can sleep when I die. You feel me?
Man, that's the creed right there. I promise you that.
I mean, so again, I can only speak for me. That's what got us, in my opinion, that's what got me to where I'm at. And you know, these are my guys. They've been with me ever since. So we have a work ethic that's crazy. I take this shit very serious. This is my life. Without the money, like, we was doing this before we got lit like this, before we had shit going on like this. This is how we regularly move, you know? It's what we do.
Yo, what up, Ill Brown? I'm thinking of signing up for BeatStars. What's your experience like?
Man, bro, BeatStars came through for me at a tough time, man. Of course, the industry is much different now. It gave me a platform where I didn't have to build my own website, and I was able to upload my beats and sell them and engage with the community, man. I had a crazy first month, man. Did like 4K in sales.
Wow.
And I've been a fan and a member of BeatStars ever since. Sign up on BeatStars and start making money with your beats. Go to bit.ly/beattheblock1. Again, that's bit.ly/beattheblock1. Peace. Question I wanted to ask was this as well, man. And once West Side Guns start coming around and you guys kind of, you know, all linked in or whatever, what was the dynamic he brought to the table that ultimately, you know, took you guys over the top? You know what I'm saying?
He was the flyest guy. Like, how you see West Side, when I sell you on that cover, everybody is who they wanted to be. West Side brought a flyness, a extravagant. He was wearing, and even before I got with him, I heard about, I know how he was in high school. He's younger than me, you know, they're younger than me, but he was always the fly guy, 4, 5, 6 chains. He already had the colored Wileys and shit like that. He is extreme. He is the fly guy. You feel me? That's the only way I can describe him. Like music, he loved music and everything. But like I said, when we seeked out, I knew Conway and Benny was seeking to be the best rappers in the world, period. That's all they cared about. Westside can rap good as hell, but he was gonna let you know I'm the flyest motherfucker that God has ever invented. You feel me? And he brought that, and that's what he brings now. You know what I mean? That's what Westside does. He brings that to the table. You can't take that away. And everybody is the same as what we were. Like, I'm esteemed too, not to get off subject, but I had a close friend the other day call me about some music and shit, and he told me I'm Hollywood. Man, I was foaming at the mouth, like, motherfucker, how dare you fucking call me Hollywood? I'm the same motherfucker I am. So what I meant is, and what in reference to Westside and everybody, we the same motherfuckers that we were. The money just made us 10 times more than the person we are with a platform. You know, everybody is the same. West is the flyest motherfucker. He been the flyest motherfucker since back in the day. You feel me? Now everybody just exposed to him. So what Westside brand, what he has brought to Buff City and to Griselda and all that is being the flyest motherfucker that anybody that breathe can be. If that answers your question.
Absolutely. Hell yeah, man. Like, I mean, that's the most accurate answer you could possibly give, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fly God is an awesome guy. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm telling you, man, he's been the flyest motherfucker since the 80s, man. Since he came out, bro. Since he came out, that's been him. Westside is a fly guy.
Man, that's ill, man. Me being a fan of you guys, BSF, Griselda, the whole team, man. You know what I mean? You guys got the merch shit on Smash, man. Like, every time I'm at a show of y'all's, y'all hit Chicago or whatever, like, I'm 300-400 out the pocket in merch, and I would walking out with a smile though.
That's another thing we gotta credit you at the West. That's his department. He turned us on. He opened that merch lane back up for us and the rest of the world. That's him. That's again, I gotta hats off the West Side. He the flyest, you know. That motherfucker always been dressing his ass off, and he always had to have some shit that looked like he invented with the Wallys back in the day. He used to have his Wallabies dyed a certain color and shit. So again, you feel me? We living out our dreams, and we're bringing it to the world, and we're you know, we're building a platform of BSF, Buff City, Griselda. You feel me? All from the core of Buff City Records. You feel me?
I feel like I should be doing this interview in my Tana Talk 3 tour.
that shit was fly too.
Tour shirt with all the dates
back
on the back. I feel like I ain't repping it right.
I'm always in merch, man. I represent what we are, man. I'm always in.
But you got the chain though.
That's BSF too. Feel me? That's BSF.
You got the iced out joint.
Yeah, you already know.
Yes, sir.
I'm a little older, man. I can't have truck jewels on. You know, that's for the young boys. I'm grown. I can't have the big old joints on me. I'm almost 50, bro. That don't even look right, man. My kids, they gonna talk about me. They be like, nah, Unc, you gotta keep your rollie can't be as flooded as this. And I don't want all that shit. You know, that's for the young guys. That's cool. Young world.
No doubt, no doubt. So, man, that was the time you flew to Florida, actually, man, to get some advice from a friend after being frustrated with the music business, as we all have been at one point. You know what I'm saying? Share some of that story, how that friend helped you out with some advice or whatever.
I was just kind of frustrated with the business, man. We was going through shit. Benny had went back to school. Benny had was going to school. We was making a transition. When I was frustrated, I'm like, damn, how come we can't? This business shit ain't working. And I'm kind of out of money. I don't want to... I was selling weed and shit like that. And I didn't constantly want to keep doing that. I'm like, damn, I keep making these runs and shit. I don't want to keep doing this and some bullshit happened. So I was frustrated with the business. And then I was trying to make me some real legal money. And my bro in Florida, he had does email advertising. So I went there to try to, you know, get it out. That shit wasn't for me though. You know, everything ain't for everybody. It just wasn't in the phone work and all that shit just really, really wasn't in me. And he kind of knew that. He knew that. He was like, you know, what is you doing? But I was I had been in a relationship, you know what I mean? I had kids. Our kids was grown and shit. And I'm just like, I was trying to do the same. I was just selling weed and dogs and shit, just ghetto shit, you feel me? And I was looking at, you know, what the fuck I'm going to do? This music shit ain't popping financially right now. So I went down, and that shit didn't last no more than 60 days, man. I packed up all my shit and thought I was going to be that. I gave City Boy them all the studio and shit. I'm like, yeah, you know, I ain't give you all the studio, but, you know, y'all just hold it down. Make sure, you know, I wasn't going to leave the studio or leave nowhere for boys to work and shit. I want to tell you the truth. I think I was gone like not even 40 days, but, you know, I tried to have, you know, my man down there, he getting his ass, he making his ass, he doing well, pink, bought a brand new Jag, SR, whatever that shit is, cash, one check and shit. So I'm like, shit, this nigga making 60, 70,000 and with one bonus check and shit. You know, I was more so thinking of that. But after that, man, that shit wasn't hitting on nothing for me. And I was, you know, I'm up on music by the death of me. And he knew that. He's like, man, if you don't get your ass up out of here and, you know, me and my partner, we talking. So we go do a little renovation of the studio. We go do a little remodeling. You done left them boys down there and them motherfuckers don't clean up or nothing. My lab is be spotless, man. I left 40 days. They got shit laying around, food laying around from when I left.
Damn.
I'm like, y'all motherfuckers crazy, man. I hate y'all. I was like, I hate all y'all. Everybody get out. Remodeled everything, you know, hung up every new shit. And we got right back at it. So, and we got right back at it and shit. The rest lies to be history.
That's dope. That's dope, man. So let's pivot this way real quick, man. You made a song with Benny. His joint is fire, by the way, called The Long Way. Helped you get back in your zone, man. Talk us through that process a little bit.
Wow. And I'm going to tell you, honey, that was the time when I went back to making beats. It was like I had pulled out my MPC XL. It's right over here, too. It's sitting under the table right now in a box.
Word.
I pulled that joint out, right? And I'm looking around, I'm like, man, I'm not coming back on this though digital shit where I'm at now. Moving forward, I'm on digital joint now, but I was like, I'm gonna pull this joint out. So I went through, man, I put out my old zip files, got my old zip drums. Oh man, and I got back in my bag. And then the first thing I sampled was I was watching something late at night. I woke up at like 5 or something in the morning. There was some shit on TV on one of them channels, and it was The Greatest American Hero, and that used to be one of my favorite shows, man. As soon as I heard that motherfucker, I woke up, went right to, I was at home. I was at the studio, I was at home. I went right to the lab about like 9 o'clock in the morning, man, and downloaded The Greatest American Hero, and I made that Long Way beat. And then, I mean, I think I stayed at the lab for about like 2 days straight just making crazy beats, and we did the Friend of Ours album. I made like 10 of those beats all like in 2 days. I just went crazy.
Bangers too.
Bangers for sure.
Thank you. Let me go grab my joint. Let me show y'all for real though. Hold on a second. Let me grab my joint, man.
Yes, sir. We getting a history lesson here. You know what I'm saying?
Heck yeah.
Feel me?
Oh,
yes, sir.
Went right at it. This is a joint that made this shit. This is all dusty too still. But that's my shit.
Did you get the plate custom, or was that stock? You just buy it like that?
Nah, hell no. It was custom. I ordered it from some shit. I forgot when or when not, but I ordered that shit and put it on there.
That shit fly as hell.
That's ill right there, man. Gotta love it. Gotta love it, man. Tools of the trade, man. I'm a 2000 XL baby, yep. So you know what I mean? I still get busy on that joint all the time, man. So
yeah, I come from the school of the ASR-10.
Hey, man.
Oh, do you have one? Do you got one?
No, I don't got it no more.
Could you tell me this? I got a question, bro. Please help me with this.
What's up?
Okay, why the ASR-10 is the only fucking sampler that will take a one loop, no matter how often it is, and loop it back. Like with my MP, I gotta put that shit on 8 pads.
Yeah.
Chop it up to keep it going. On the ASR10, you can go like this, and that shit gonna come back.
Yep.
Indeed.
Do y'all know why?
I can actually explain it to you, man. Okay. So, you know, I had an ASR10 as well, man. Me and my partner, Vest120, both had ASR10s. And I was like, yo, and, you know, at the time, the first time I seen somebody use an ASR10 was No ID. So he was, you know, he was about showing, you know, like, young producers in the hood out here in Chicago, like, you know, Kanye and, you know, a bunch of other cats, Doug Infinite and all us, man, showing us the ropes
right.
with, you know, the ASR-10. And what he, that feature right there, what he explained to it, it was actually a botched feature of the ASR-10. It was in Sonic's first experimentation with time stretching.
Time.
So.
The time.
You know what I'm saying? So, but it was botched, though. They did it like a horrible job at it, but it created this feature that is an ASR-10 exclusive that is actually an accident where you could loop any part of any chop
you
sample, whatever you put in there.
You are super dope,
and
bro.
It'll come back on a one no matter what you do to that shit. And
no
I couldn't,
matter what
I was like, do. I was like, this gotta be a glitch. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. It turned out to be a glitch. Let's pivot this way, man. You know the artists you work with, bro. They're so unique, man. Like, as much as Conway, Benny, you know, Rick High, all the BSF fam, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's so unique and different, man. Like, how do you think they had so much success with the sound? You know, a lot of people try to be different. You know what I'm saying? They airball some of the times. You know, they miss the mark. You know what I'm saying? What makes you guys unique in that perspective?
Because we do it all, and we have been doing it all, bro. For real, for real. I'm going to keep it 100. Just like we was doing, when Jeezy was doing that trap shit, we was doing that shit too, bro. Feel me? We always, like, all our mixtapes, whatever, we always kept raw hip-hop joints. Like, that's our natural. So if we did a mixtape that had mostly, like, if it was down south shit jumping, if I had 12 songs on a mixtape, 7 of them was, like, down south shit, and then the other 4 would be, like, our raw hip-hop East Coast type shit.
That's it.
Feel me? So we always stay consistent. And then speaking of Conway was, like, I'm going to keep it 100. He was the one that kept everybody diverse, like, back in, like, 00. Maybe 10, he coming in with Project Pat. Like, we doing mixtapes, he coming in with Project Pat instrumentals.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, word? He coming in with all the Jeezy shit, you feel me? Like, his mind,
yes,
his mind state. Like, we was doing them type of shit back then, you feel me? We never stopped doing the sound that we do. We never stopped that. That never stopped. However, you know, we always stayed in the gym doing all types of music. Y'all do y'all history. Y'all see all types of music from us. We never stopped our sound, but we also did, you know, showed our diversity in all genres, basically, of music, of hip-hop.
No doubt. I saw something on Twitter, man, I wanted to touch on real quick before we proceed forward. And, you know, Westside, Benny and Conway actually touched on this, man, and it was real dope because, you know what I'm saying? I got fam out, artists I work with out in Youngstown and Cleveland, and you know that's a hop, skip, and a jump from.
I got knocked in Youngstown too for the first time. I had my coat from the Mark Buchanan store. I had the L Pele joint way back in the day, and they knocked me with my joint on. All right, don't go ahead.
All
right,
good.
Shout out to Youngstown.
Yeah. So you know I got people out there, man, and that was the first time I got in tune with like the Buff City roster, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people don't know y'all had Armani Caesar a while before the Griselda announcement. I was like, yo, that's still
all family, but yeah, I did. I had her for a while.
Yeah,
so you feel me? That's my homegirl.
I would see the mixtapes and everything. Like, my people was like, yo, these cats in Buffalo is nice. And I would see the mixtapes and be like, yo, this is crazy. So fast forward to now, I hear the diversity. And I hear what you guys are trying to do as far as progressing and, like, yo, don't try to box us in to just, you know, us being able to bar you out.
Right.
And I was like, well, y'all got to go back and listen to some of the Buff City projects, and then y'all will understand that they've been on this wave.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and it's out there, man. Like, the mixtape's out there.
Yeah, we was dropping them, man. We always work. We stayed working. That's one thing. We was go make us some music and drop some shit.
Absolutely.
We got to do a little different now that we eat one and stuff. Things have to be a little different, but we drop music. We got, man, we got, we right now, we probably got another 4 or 5 albums Rick Hyde going crazy. Heem is going just stupid crazy. Like, we probably got like 4 or 5 albums right now. Hey. And, you know, I just did a project with Graf. I got a project with Smoke Dizza coming. We working.
Nice.
We working.
Love to hear it, man. That's
what's up. I just did the Flea project, you know, and me and Flea probably go do another project. I did all El Camino's joint, so I'm working on another joint with El Camino. We working.
Flea Lords, that's the homie, man. He rocks with an artist out here in Chicago, real heavy, AM early morning.
Okay.
And I've done some work with them cats, man. So we all in tune, man. It's dope, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just love to see it, man. I love seeing self-made cats, you know what I'm saying, get to the pinnacle and not change. That's the thing I preach the most, man. We don't have to change
right.
to be dope and be influential and monumental. You know what I mean? Right. So kudos to you guys for, you know, staying solid.
Thank you. Thank you, King. Appreciate it.
Man, so for our listeners, especially like piggybacking off of Will, staying true to your sound, how do you think people should go about starting a career and being successful today? I mean, I feel like everything is totally different from back in the day, you know what I'm saying?
And I'm learning. I'm learning more and more. I'm learning that, and I'm learning myself more and more. So my advice for that would be like, do your research and work hard, basically.
Yeah, the work ethic, I think, is major. I mean, and you guys definitely displayed that. I think people got lazy. Like, if we look at today, everything is a little... I mean, the digital world is... almost the microwave.
That's what I meant to get at with you. I'm sorry to answer you. Like, they tell me I have to be more internetical. We got our own word. Shout out to Hottie.
Internetical.
That's right. I
love it.
I have to be more internetical.
Yeah.
However, like I said, and I'm learning now. It's major shortcuts, man. Like, I used to sit outside Def Jam to handhold, to get hold, to listen to our CDs. Nowadays, you can go on Instagram, and if they look at it, see how many followers you got, you go get an interview or somebody go talk to you. So I do understand things have changed. My advice would be, again, I have, like, what I don't practice is be more internetical and being more in tune of that. You know, I'm kind of old school, but I do understand, like I said, and I'm learning that is kind of the way of the world. Usually, like, even going back to when to Pusha T, one of our first big features that Benny had with Pusha T, it was like it shit so real that he hit him on the gram, and it was like, yeah, King, I fucks with you, and build a relationship right off of there. You know, back in the day, it would have to be like, oh, you have to get in touch with his manager, and his manager would do this and do that. Feel me? So things I do understand, things are different. Like I said, my advice for anybody who's, whether you're an artist or executive, you got to stay in tune on that internet, and, you know, and stay in tune. Like, yeah, stay in tune with that and be more internetical.
And we're going to be using that
I'm
word.
I'm using that term.
Right.
We're
going to be using that word from here on out.
Free my boy Hottest, but my boy Hottest made that word up. And I think he was saying that shit when I was going out of town. He was like, when I was going to Florida, he was like, Unc, you can't go down there and be with your man, B. That's your man, B. You do music. You got to stay here with us, man. Fuck that shit. He was like, fuck that shit. Just get home and be more internetical, man, and everything going to be all right. You feel me? It's my boy Hottest.
I love it, man. I love it. So, yo, on a lighter note, I know you got some hilarious stories, you know, just being in this industry. I know you've seen some things, man. If you got anything you want to share, man, please, we're all ears.
No, you know what? I'm going to keep it 100. That's one thing about my old being. I said, I'm going to wait. We can talk about music and all that, but it's a whole, and technically, it's so many of them, I don't know where to begin, and I would have to edit them in my brain before I even would to give them to you for real, the real joints. But I'm going to just say this, man. It's like what we've experienced and what we do around here, everybody here is so with their music, like so stuck into their... And what they believe in as far as their music is so much in the zone that it's crazy. I mean, we have all our fun times, and I told City Boy that we got to get our cameras here at the BSF Ranch and studio. We need cameras all day because there'll be so much content and funny shit going on that we miss. But it's, man, the stories is endless, man. If I'm gonna just be honest, if I was to tell y'all, they would probably kill me or or something of that nature, because I got some real joints.
I mean, I don't want nothing bad to happen to you, so I ain't even gonna press that.
Just know this BSF Griselda Buff City thing, man. We taking over the world in this music shit, and we got stories to tell, man. We got some things for the world to hear, man.
Indeed. I can't wait to hear more of them through the music, man, for real.
Facts.
So, throughout your career, I mean, there probably would have been countless times where you were just going to say, fuck it, I'm going to throw in the towel.
Just in the business, never with the music. I would say fuck it with the whole thing, but then I'll go write and make a beat or do a mix down or do something, you feel me?
Right. So would that be a part of your perseverance? Like, what did you do to persevere? How did you keep yourself going?
Benny Rhymes.
You know what?
Them bars, them motherfucking bars, man. Do y'all be hearing what that boy be saying, bruh?
Yes.
Yeah, bruh.
Yes.
Them bars, bruh. That's it. I believe in those bars.
How would you, like, do that from a mental health perspective, though? Like, how did you keep yourself sane during this whole process?
I really have to say the music and the music itself, the music took me there. Like, even if I try to get away, the music was going to take me there. The thought, like, my everyday, like, if I thought about doing something else, whether it was selling drugs or how I was going to survive, a Benny verse would come to my head. You feel me? Like, so anything that I would do, it was related. Like he said, everything related to drug dealing. Everything related to drug dealing. It was like kind of everything related to something that he had said in my life. And I was like, what the fuck I'm gonna do, bro? This is it. Like, it was no. If I didn't have the music or was able to hear music or the thought of them bars, it would probably be over for me. If that make any sense.
It was just like the raw belief in the talent that you had.
Yeah. And then even if I stopped believing or if something tore me away from believing that it was gonna happen, one of them bars would come in my head and it would be right back at it, man. It's been tough times, and like I said, I felt that the industry had me so fucked up that I'd be like, yo, I'm sick of this shit. Why ain't nobody hearing us? So yeah, I did go through that, but the only thing that would bring me back, man, like I couldn't hide from the music. Like, what else? Let's say if I gave it up, I'm not gonna listen to music no more. Yes, I am. And as soon as I listen to music, I'm gonna be like, yo, I got the fucking dopest MC in the fucking world right here. All I gotta do is let somebody hear him, and we gonna be good. Me and the Heems and the Rick Highs and all of us, we gonna be good if somebody hear this motherfucker with this big ass noise.
Yeah, man.
That's word.
I'm the same way, man, because, like, you know, I go through a lot of fucked up shit in this business too, man, but it's like, it's really just the music that just keeps me focused. Like, if I wasn't really making music, I don't know how I'd be feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd just be, if I officially wanted to quit music, like, I don't know what else I'd be doing.
Right.
Like, that's the gift that I got. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So let's take it back to when you were 10 years old learning how to DJ. What would you tell that youngin' with the turntables? What advice would you give them?
If they serious about it, go with your craft, man. Believe in your craft. It's tough, man. It's tough for me to give somebody advice. If they don't have it, they don't have it. I know it's motherfuckers that the jumpers jump higher than Michael Jordan but never make it to the league. So, you feel me?
Right. It's just one of those things. I'm actually a firm believer in if you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't.
But how you gonna tell somebody that? They might believe in themselves. See, that I wouldn't say that because some people feel today, and it's some people feel that different. I could think somebody trash and somebody think they fire. I'd be like, well, you know, who the fuck am I?
And then they end up being fired years down the road for you.
Right. So I can't judge people based upon lyrics. I got the two best rappers in the world, bro. So if motherfucker trying to impress me for lyrics, that's probably never gonna happen.
It did.
I'm just keeping 100. I look at artists for different things. You know, everybody can't be lyrical. That makes some artists is great. That's not lyrical at all. They got nursery rhyme lyrics, but, you know, can maybe make great hooks and make great songs.
Indeed, man. Indeed. They just make good music.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's all about the music, how good the music is. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
And what you guys do, it's A1. It's A1, man.
Appreciate it, man. That's what we strive to do, man. We just make good music.
Indeed.
So thank you so much for tapping in with us. I would say we've had some great interviews. I'm not going to say out of all of them, this was a particular way, but you kept it real and raw. And I felt like you believing in what you were doing from the start was like something a lot of people needed to hear. I think belief in yourself is like really the most important thing, no matter what you do, because when you believe in yourself and you kind of know, then you stick to it and you persevere and you go through the humps and, you know, the trial and error, you just make the shit happen. So I feel like sitting here talking to you, you kind of displayed that having a long career from the start of you DJing up until now, it was like really inspiring to hear.
And that's dope. I never met a female that DJ and make beats. Too, you dope. Too, you fire. That's dope. That's dope.
Thank you.
That's dope. I appreciate y'all having me though. That's, you know what I mean? No doubt. Appreciate it.
No doubt. No doubt, man. Real quick, man. Let the people know your social media handles, where they can find you online and all of that.
Oh shit, there. Here I go with this internetical shit.
Internetical shit. Let's get it.
No, my Instagram, DJ Shay BSF. I don't even know. My Twitter is DJ Shay, and my Facebook is DJ Shay too. Yeah, all my shit is just straight DJ Shay. Instagram is DJ Shay BSF. My email is buffcityrecords@yahoo.com. So I still got a Yahoo with y'all. That's how old my shit is. You feel me? Now I got a Gmail too, but yeah, that's it. Y'all want to email me some music? No, that shit gonna be flooded. But yeah, it's all good. buffcityrecords@yahoo, DJ Shay BSF, Instagram, and straight DJ Shay on the Facebook.
Dope.
And I appreciate you guys for having me, man. Enough respect to everybody.
Real quick, before we go, can you tell the audience what we got coming? What do they have to look forward to?
Wow, okay. What y'all have forward to look forward to right now is the DJ Drama, the BSF joint. That shit be coming out any week. I'm hoping at the 4th of July week or something.
Let's go.
Real, real soon. That's the DJ Drama joint. And then right after that, we gonna be coming with the Rick High DJ Clue joint. That's about to come. We got the Heem joint with me and DJ Green Lantern. And then we got the big BSF tape. I don't know what the name of that is yet. We ain't named that yet, but we gonna kill a whole summer. And we gonna probably sneak some other shit out there that y'all gonna hear. We killing shit. We got so much music that we got some shit with Bodie James. I got some shit with Bodie. I got this right here, this chair right here in Walmart. It's open. All the boys, they be going out and shit. I'll be right in this chair when they leave, and I'll be right here when they come back. I go to Walmart. My smoke man come deliver, go to Two Rays for some backwoods. I'm working. We gonna have the most shit for the rest of the whole year. Watch. I'm gonna be killing shit. We gonna have the whole fucking summer and the winter. Big BSF, you feel me?
That's what's up.
No doubt, man.
Huh?
Killing
That's
shit.
That's love, man.
Killing shit.
Killing everything moving, man.
Everything,
you know what I'm saying?
Moving. Don't move. Your ass gonna get shot.
Already.
You'll get shot.
Word life, man.
Right.
So that's that episode, man. We gonna get up out of here, man.
All right.
On behalf of B Stars,
Big BSF,
and DJ Shay.
Big BSF is the
You
game.
Know what I'm saying? Already, man. Yeah, that's what's happening, man. So that being said, we out of here, man. I'm
Peace
your friendly
love.
Neighborhood podcast host, producer, DJ, engineer, all that good shit. Ill Brown.
What's good? It's Trox.
Yo, and this is your girl, Candy.
We'll catch you on the next episode.
Peace.
Wani. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Beat the Block. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps the show a lot. See you on the next episode. Peace.